This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. I am your host, Karen Vergara, senior journalist at Financial Standard. While it is highly complex, aged care advice is becoming increasingly important for Australians, particularly as the population becomes older. Aged care itself, which tends to be stressful for older Australians and their families, is also emotionally and financially taxing. That's why it is critical to seek proper aged care advice. However, a worrying trend has emerged in that aged care advice is an unregulated area that requires a more robust framework. So today, Louise Beattie, Director of Aged Care Steps, is shedding more light in this area for us. Louise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be here.
Louise, why did Aged Care Steps launch a consultation project on the licensing and regulation of aged care advice recently?
This is something we've been watching for a number of years now. So Aged Care Steps works very specifically in the aged care advice space, supporting financial planners and lawyers, accountants, and a whole range of people to give advice on aged care. And one of the things that we have found is an increasing confusion and uncertainty about how aged care advice fits within the Corporations Act, whether it is advice that needs to be done under an AFSL or not. We see varying degrees of what advice is provided, how it's provided, confusion from advisors about what they really need to do from a regulatory point of view. And so what we are concerned about is two things. So for advisors working in this space, we think that level of uncertainty is making it harder for them to provide advice, and that also adds cost and complexity. And then they're taking on business risk. But we've also got this unlevel playing field where some use AFSL, some don't. But more worryingly for us, what we think ultimately the issue is that for consumers, it means they're often getting conflicted advice, they're getting poor advice, and that advice comes with a lack of consumer protection for them. So they don't have access, if it's unlicensed, they're not having access to external dispute resolution. They don't have access to PI insurance. And that's leading to some really negative outcomes. So we're concerned about getting better protection for older Australians and their families, people accessing advice. And we're also concerned about getting better clarity for advisors, so that we're not inadvertently doing the wrong thing.
Firstly, let's break this down. What does aged care advice involve? Because it does not start at the point of sitting down with a financial advisor. It is more encompassing than that.
It's really interesting actually to define aged care advice, because it does encompass a whole discussion, and I firmly believe a whole discussion that starts right at the very early stages of retirement as well, or even pre-retirement, about what does life look like in retirement? What's quality of life going to represent? How do we maintain quality of life and access care as we get older? And I think that requires more and more a conversation about where we want to live, how we want to live, what we're willing to compromise or not, and how we're going to fund it all as well. So that's an entire retirement journey conversation. But generally, what we're looking at when a lot of people think about aged care advice is the specifics when a crisis has happened. Mum or dad are older, their bodies are failing them, or their mental capacity is failing them, and they now need increasing levels of support to stay at home. So at the heart of the advice, I think it's cash flow planning. So what it is about being able to look at the needs that a person has, the environment they're going to access those in, whether that's home, retirement village, residential care, and helping a client to calculate what it will cost, because that's a whole new how much money do I need to live on conversation. So the aged care advice involves calculating costs for clients so they can understand what expenditure needs they have, And then it is purely cash flow management. What do they need? Where do they fund that from? How do they restructure their investments to meet that cash flow expenditure, which is usually a cash flow deficit? And it is about, we're going to need to start dipping into assets. So which assets are they? In addition, then there's education to clients about how aged care works, what steps they need to take to access care, how they get their approvals. There's a whole lot of various components that are involved with it as well. For clients, they often don't see where financial planning fits into it. They think it's just a matter of find somewhere to live, speak to the aged care provider, get them to tell you what the fees are, and then just struggle with how to pay it. But we say there is a lot more involved, and that's why we want financial planners to be really active in getting clients to see that before they do anything, it's about what's affordable, how do they best fund it, what's happening into the future as well. And that follows general principles of advice. So there is a lot involved. Different advisors will get involved at different levels as well. It's not usually involved in helping people choose where to live, but some of those conversations about how to make the right choices come into that advice process.
That's a great explanation. The paper states the prevalence of superficial, conflicted advice when there's no regulatory oversight and there's a lack of consumer protections that puts clients at substantial risk. So in light of this, can you provide an example of where aged care advice has perhaps gone awry?
Yeah, I could. We see a lot of problems with the variety of people that are out there trying, and often with all good intentions, but trying to help these older Australians and their families who are needing to make big emotional decisions in a very short period of time with a lot of conflict and a lot of stress and a lot of emotion all swirling around them as well. So we see that being such a difficult time. But the problem is that a lot of the advice that we see that comes from that unregulated environment is not really taking a full holistic picture for the client. They're not looking at the big picture. Often it's looking at points in time. So it's looking at, if you move into residential care today, here's what your fees would be today. If you change certain assets, so for example, if you sold a house, here's what your answer would, this is what your expenditure would look like. Mm-hmm. If you kept your house, this is what your expenditure would look like. So it's looking at current situations based on just this point in time. What it doesn't do is fill in the big picture. It doesn't look at what might change after a person's gone into care and how that could very significantly change what their fees would be. It doesn't look at the whole family conflict aspect and the decisions that families might make and the potential for elder abuse as well. So, for example, some of the real specifics we've seen, and one, often a lot of it, the problems we see comes from the Centrelink biz officers as well, who are well overstepping that mark. We saw an example, and I have it in writing, where a phys officer has recommended a client do a number of actions like gifting, buying a lifetime annuity, and buying a funeral bond to get their assets down so that they would become low means and, in theory, pay a cheaper fees. The problem with that advice was that they miscalculated things. So even with the recommendations that this officer had made, which well outsteps their boundaries, the client wouldn't have become low means. So they would have gone and bought all these things and not achieved the outcome they thought they were achieving. But also, even if it had, it was only going to be short-lived, because once they sold a house, it was going to change quite the fees quite significantly as well. So this advice didn't have all the facts, it didn't have all the details, and it didn't anticipate what was going to change. It also doesn't look at some of the other issues about the trade-offs. that this might have been a client that needed to trade off, could they get the room they wanted, where they wanted, compared to making it as cheap as possible. So they're sorts of examples we see. We've also seen a number of scenarios where the advice a person receives is conflicted, and it's, we would speculate that the advice has been provided to create the client doing something like selling the house, which gives an advantage to the aged care provider providing that advice to the client, or in some cases to the advisor who has other business connections that would benefit from a client having taken a particular course of action. It's hard to give you all those specifics because there's confidentiality around it, but we see, as I said, it's where the bounds are overstepped and it goes beyond the person's capability to give that advice. It's not taken into account the full situation. We often see that leads to potential for elder abuse as well, that if you don't have somebody that's working within the bounds of professional conducts and professional body standards, then you don't have that client best interest component, and then families are being given permission to do gifting amongst themselves, which leads to elder abuse.
You mentioned earlier that there are various views around whether aged care advice is covered under an AFSL or not. Where does that confusion come from, and how would you like this to change?
There is a lot of confusion, and we battle this on a constant basis. The confusion is, it arises out of, I think, a misunderstanding of what is personal financial product advice. So to be giving advice under the Corporations Act, if it's personal advice and it involves a financial product, then it's very clearly needs to come under the remit of the Corporations Act, and therefore we need licensed advisors and all of the consumer protection that comes with that. Where the confusion comes is that when you're giving aged care advice, so if you have a client moving into residential care, and we're trying to work out whether the client should keep the house or sell the house, whether they should pay the daily fee for accommodation, or whether they should pay the lump sum, the problem is that often it's about giving people choices. So saying, here's your various options, here's your various processes that you could follow, but not making that decision, because it's often not one definitive pathway that's best. It is a family conversation and a lot of financial, personal, emotional consideration. So the advisor or the person giving the advice is often saying, here are various scenarios. These are the implications of those scenarios. You, client, make the choice. Because the person giving the advice is not telling them specifically which way to go, there's a misconception that that's not personal advice. But it is. If you look at the Corporations Act and the regulations, anything where you are getting personal details from a person and you're then applying scenarios or advice that is using those specific details, that is personal advice, not factual information. It's not general advice. It's personal advice. Now, nothing in the Corporations Act really says you need to make that decision for clients. You just need to facilitate it. And clients are going to assume that the choices that you've given them, you've used your professional judgment. You've used your ability to go, these are the ones that you can choose from. So that in itself becomes advice. The second problem we face then is whether that personal advice is financial product advice or not. Now, again, in our view, it usually is, because financial product advice then says, you know, if it's personal advice, financial product advice, these are all the requirements you need to follow. If financial product advice is, if you're saying to a client, in this particular scenario, put money into a financial product or take money out of a financial product. So very often this advice is where a client comes to see somebody, The advice might be you could take money out of a bank account to pay your RAD. Now, the RAD, the refundable accommodation deposit, that's the room price in residential care. So a lot of the times, the scenarios, the modelling, the numbers shows taking money out of the bank account and using it to pay for accommodation in residential care. Taking money out of a bank account is a financial product. So that's financial product advice that would fit under the AFSL regime as well. So we think it sort of does inadvertently get caught under all of those areas under current legislation. So what we want to do is clarify it, because we see compliance people not understanding exactly how aged care advice works and then interpreting it in a different way. We see the information being provided from ASIC confusing people about whether it is or it isn't, because they're not giving an opinion. And so then people are interpreting it. We're seeing, as I said, the problem we see with the Centrelink FIS officers, they're the financial information service officers, where they're exempt specifically under the Corporations Act, but only to provide certain information services. And we see them stepping way beyond that, not being monitored and supervised. We also see the aged care providers who believe that they need to provide aged care advice, or they need to do this modelling and numbers for clients, because that's helping them make decisions and they need to make very quick decisions. So I think sometimes it's just misguided views around what support's out there and how it works. And we just need to clarify this.
Absolutely. It can get a bit grey. With Australia's population greying within a short space of time, why is pushing for tougher aged care advice laws and protections so critical now?
Yeah, now is the perfect time for us to have this clarified, because what we have seen is the tightening of AFSL requirements, the increased expenses, the education requirements. We've seen a lot of financial planners exit the industry and decide that because they believe aged care advice sits outside that AFSL regime, there's a lot of businesses popping up. So we're seeing more and more people providing advice in this purely unregulated, unsupervised, unlicensed world. And that's because we've seen a lot of people exit the industry. We've also seen aged care providers providing this advice far more, and the government gearing up funding some of their Centrelink staff and bringing aged care specialists. So we're seeing the unregulated side absolutely booming and increasing in numbers. At the moment, what we know is that the aged care industry needs to have a lot more money injected into it to provide good quality advice. And there's a new Aged Care Act coming out. There is a whole debate around funding of aged care, how much it needs to provide aged care and who should fund it. We're still waiting to see the government response to the Aged Care Task Force around what's going to happen to fees and whether the government will put in more money or whether the users of the aged care will need to put in more. But it's very clear and very evident that the costs for people who are accessing aged care is increasing. So we've got a lot more people providing unregulated advice. We've got a big bubble of the baby boomers heading straight into the aged care years.
Mm.
We're going to have more and more of the costs pushed to the people who are accessing aged care and making it more expensive. We've got property prices increasing, and we've got families and, you know, the kids and the grandkids of people accessing aged care having cost of living pressures. All eyes are on grandma, grandpa's house and what should happen to that and how that could be helping the family, but it may need to help that person access care. So we've got this whole bunch of things conflicting and growing in pressure now, and just years of uncertainty about exactly where this fits. So what we're looking for is to say we know that there's bigger financial decisions people need to make. The consequences are more important to get it right. And we've got the increasing numbers of people needing advice and people wanting to provide advice. So now's the time to clarify, where does it fit in regulation? What's the supervision of this space? And how is it going to work best to ensure there is adequate advice, it's comprehensive advice, it's affordable advice, and people know to access advice and the differences between information and advice?
Absolutely. Aged care is something, is a bridge that we will all have to cross one day, won't we?
Well, we will, because most of us are going to have, you know, longer and longer lives. And so just, it doesn't mean we're all going to be sitting in rocking chairs without knowing where we are. Mm-hmm. But the support we need to just live independent quality lives, we will all get there, for most of us.
Absolutely. And finally, Louise, the consultation period ends on May 10. So which stakeholders or professionals would you urge to contribute to the discussion?
We urge a really wide range of people to contribute to the discussion. So what we're doing in the first stage is trying to get as much feedback around what's happening currently with aged care advice, who's providing it, why they're providing it, and what limitations they're working to as well. Because what we're trying to do is get as many opinions around that. So we're asking financial planners and financial advisors to be contributing. We're asking accountants and lawyers, so those other people that are giving professional advice. We're asking even those people that we see setting up businesses that's in that unlicensed regime. What are they doing? How are they doing it? So it would be great to hear feedback from them, from the aged care providers, from placement services, from government, from regulators. And absolutely also, we're encouraging anybody who's got clients accessing advice. We'd love to hear from them, their experience, and has the unregulated been a good experience or a bad experience? You know, what are they seeing and how are they accessing it? So anybody who's accessed advice, anybody who's provided advice, anybody that's working in that regime, that they see people moving into aged care and needing advice. In the first stage, we just really want to get as much opinion as well, because what we also know is that if it really is agreed that it sits under that AFSL regime, what we also want to be able to do is see, well, how do we not create overkill in the compliance world that it then becomes too time-consuming, too convoluted to provide the advice that's needed? Because in many cases, it doesn't need the full-blown compliance that we do with other wealth accumulation, retirement planning objective. So we want it to be accessible. We want it to be simplistic to provide and affordable. So the consultation process, which we've got open until the 10th of May, many people who can give us feedback, it would be useful. We will then take that and put together a white paper on what we think has come out of that consultation process. We're going to pose some discussion points there and then be able to, again, widely distribute that for input, feedback, discussion, to promote to regulators and government where this should sit, how they should regulate it, and maybe what legislative change they need to make a system that's affordable for us.
Louise, thank you so much for your time. This has been a great conversation, and we wish you the best with the consultation and your endeavours with this.
Great. Thank you very much. It's great to share it and to get the message out. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.